morning. Today is Tuesday, June the 23rd, 179th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, photographer and general manager of the Humboldt Waste Management Authority.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Joe Duffy. Well, there's just too many of these big words.
I know those
this,
acronyms I mean, kind of throw like, you, I know.
Hanna, 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 hanna. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
Bright and early, too.
Very early.
I know. This is a shocker to your fan club. This morning, we got all kinds of garbage to talk about. Some cool stuff, some interesting stuff, and some really kind of intriguing things.
Very intriguing things.
Ain't necessarily what you think and what you thunk it was.
That's right.
You going to hold on to that cell phone, or are you going to show me the picture so
I'm
going to
show you the
down?
Picture.
Oh, very cool.
You like that?
Yeah.
So she's one of our newest from Humboldt County, a young woman named Mary Freitas, and she has joined the U.S. Navy, and she graduated from Great Lakes Training Center 3 weeks ago.
On a sunny day.
On a beautiful sunny day. And those poor sailors were all required to wear their overcoats outdoors.
Oh, really?
Apparently it was what the assignment was, and they were all pretty broiling because it was, I don't know, probably close to 70 degrees wearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, she's a young gal out of McKinleyville, and she just graduated and serving for 4 years now.
Very cool. Very cool.
Very proud of her.
As you're looking at some of the different challenges that you're dealing with professionally.
Professionally. Not my photography challenges.
No, no. What is July 1st, new fiscal year, certainly, for most governmental and governmental-esque entities.
Mm-hmm.
Anything new in the hopper or any weird regulations that you have to make accommodations for other than, you know, the part-time paid, that kind of stuff for sick leaves?
You know, the
normal stuff that everybody's wrestling.
Yeah, well, fortunately for the authority, while we operate on that fiscal year, we actually completed our budget in early May of this year, and we're required to adopt our budget early so that whatever fiscal impact is going to occur can be taken into consideration when our member agencies are then having to go through their
So various. Whatever the ripple is,
yeah.
They get
and,
a chance.
And sometimes, sometimes there's more or less. Actually, for a number of years, the authority has had zero increase. In some cases, decreases, which in some ways is kind of not been very good for setting us up for some of the challenges that we've had in the last couple of years. So we've really had to do a lot of restructuring and absorbing of some expenditures and figuring out how we can do, you know, more with our internal capabilities. And we've been very, very successful. We also just recently completed a restructure of some long-term debt, which is saving us about $400,000 a year in interest payments. So we were able to minimize. We still had to ask for a tip fee increase of 1.5%. We've been working really hard trying to find ways to pull those in. In terms of, significant projects and whatnot that are on the horizon, there are, three that I would say at this moment are pretty...
weighing you down?
Yeah, kind of a challenge, causing me a few sleepless nights.
Well, before you jump into it, we'll take a break and then we'll have a full chance to make a run at it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You're listening to Destination Radio. If you live here on California's North Coast or on the Curry Coast of Oregon, we're here to help you with things to do and places to see that are not too far from home. If you're visiting our beautiful area, we'll tell you about the events and destinations that will make you want to stay a little longer. What roads to take for spectacular scenery, where to hike in the forests and over the sand dunes, where to ride your bike or paddle a canoe. Coming soon to a radio near you, 790 AM, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. Before the break, Joe, you'd indicated that there were a couple of different significant issues that you were going to be looking at?
Is, you're wrestling with.
Yeah, is this cultural stuff, legal stuff, structural stuff? I mean, where do these kind of fall into?
Well, one of them is actually a mandate sort of stuff, if you will. It was one of the reasons that the authority was formed, and that was for the eventual closure of the Cummings Road landfill. And so it's a... has kind of occurred in fits and starts. The authority was formed about 15 years ago and had to get, you know, all the necessary plans and permits, you know, put into place. And in 2012, the authority undertook phase one for closure of the landfill. And then a couple of months after I was hired, a long outstanding environmental issue at the site was given an 18-month cleanup and abatement order by the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board for the cleanup of the old burn ash site that had been up there.
So the you had to take care of the ewes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we finished that in October of this year. So we basically...
Yeah, I remember you bragging about that one last fall.
We were really excited. I mean, basically 18 months.
More pictures.
Months. Well, yeah. I got lots of pictures for those. So now that all of that material, and it turns out we had anticipated, based on all the engineering that had been done, they thought there was about maybe 56,000 cubic yards. After all was said and done, once they got it all out, because you know what it was like, nobody knows what it looked like originally. 91,000 cubic yards of material that came out.
Now, does some of that stuff go back, or was it generated back in the timber days?
Well, actually, most of it was generated between 1930 and 1969, when most of the way that many communities got rid of their garbage was just to do an open-air burn. That was not uncommon. There was another site that just recently got closed down in the Fortuna area, was an open burn site. I think they ended up with about 24,000 cubic yards.
So this is just the residual of all the burn.
Yeah, so basically inert materials and, you know, just old burn ash debris. It's not like a fly ash. It actually does resemble more like a soil almost. So there's a lot of metal and glass in it, but it's pretty dense when you look at it. So we were able to get all of that material excavated from the area that, you know, had needed to be pulled out of, and we put it onto the top of the Cummings Road landfill phase two area. And so we broke ground last week with the new contractors that are on site so that we can now move forward with closing of the Cummings Road landfill altogether.
So where's
we'll be done this summer?
Where's number two?
Number two?
Yeah, you said you dug this stuff up and you put it on the landfill site number two.
So phase one was, so the overall landfill was broken up into two areas for closure. So phase one closure was done in 2012. Then we pulled out the excavated material, put it up into the phase two area, and now we're moving forward with phase two closure activities.
So phase two was a relocation of it or containing it or?
Phase two was actually just another area that still needed to be closed. And because that area hadn't been closed yet, we had the opportunity to excavate that material and put it up there for closure instead of having all of that material hauled to an out-of-area landfill.
So it's okay for it to sit where it is now? It wasn't yes. Okay for it to sit where it was before?
That's because it's going to end up being covered with a geoliner, and so it'll be all sealed into
a baggie.
The landfill. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And then what happens to it?
And then it will just...
The next guy?
It will sit there like so many landfills. You know, there's sort of a... I think every industry kind of always has this little dark side and they kind of joke about things. As some people are saying within the waste industry, you know, what we're going to end up doing 100 years from now is going back into those old landfills and opening up and see what we can mine in terms of any of the metals and whatnot that may be
or
there.
Or can you high intensity burn on it and at least condense it even further? So
no,
that,
it's all burned. It's okay. It's about...
And there's really nothing in there? No salvage value at this point?
No salvage value. No way to pull that out right now. It was all intermixed. Mm-hmm. I mean, realize it was sitting there from 1930s until 1960s.
Okay, so it has some ferns and mold in it, too. I mean, okay.
There was definitely a lot of ferns.
Yeah. So as you look at that, is state-of-the-art allowing that stuff just kind of... sit in its Ziploc and not worry about it?
Yeah, that's the conventional way of handling landfills now. So, you know, handling garbage seems to go through their little, you know, phases for many years. You just throw your garbage out in your outhouse, you know, if you will, and that's pretty evident by some of these old sites that you can go to. You know, you find all
the old home
bottles,
sites.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until essentially... You know, open air burning was also just a conventional form of disposing of waste, and until about the 1960s, late 1960s.
Well, Eureka had the can burns until what, 10 years ago?
Well, right.
That the backyard would, that would
be, barrel? Yeah, the yeah. burn barrel sorts of things. And what ends up driving a lot of this is Clean Air Act. So once upon a time, air quality throughout the United States was just degrading, and one of the primary sources were these old sites where they would just burn the garbage. And of course, as you start introducing plastics and all these other sort of synthetics into the mix, so you know, the powers that be said, well, you know, we can't do the open air burnings, we've got to find something else. So, you know, incineration was tried. That was problematic, again, air quality. And then of course, well, hey, you know, the latest greatest is, let's go ahead and start landfilling. And about the same time that you saw landfilling coming into being, you started seeing the newspaper drives and, you know, hey, let's do collection of aluminum. And then you started seeing, you know, recycling. So increasingly recycling and reuse started becoming part of our lexicon. So, you know, I don't think we've got this, you know, sub by any stretch of the imagination.
So this is kind of more a delayed situation. You've got it off the front burner.
We got it off the front burner. Now it's up on the phase two, and we're moving forward with phase two. The landfill will be closed.
Yeah, good. So there won't be regular visits up there other than just monitoring what's going on?
We will continue to do monitoring for our water extraction as well as our gas.
As you are looking at your other two topics, are either of them or projects or areas of concern, are either similar to this where you're
actually very
close
similar.
To a completion?
One of the requirements that we had to make several years ago was that green waste was no longer an allowable material to go into landfill.
Green waste. I'm going to go look that up so when we come back, I'll know what we're talking about.
Excellent.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Joe Duffy, General Manager from Humboldt. Now, if you don't know what that is, that means there's not enough marketing going on, and we're going to have to work on that.
I think that your pronunciation was pretty messed up, but that's all good. HWMA, we're good. Here we go.
Okay. So the landfill at Cummings kind of fading into a static situation. You alluded to the fact that there are two other challenges, though, that are out there that are kind of not keeping you up late at night necessarily, but getting your attention.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we just discussed, you know, landfills, you know, that's not necessarily the best way to handle, you know, our materials. So there's increasing pressure to go beyond simply recycling your bottles and cans that people sort of associate with typical recycling, but we're also being required increasingly to address other diversion kind of opportunities.
Slash burns are not anything that you feel comfortable with.
Right.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, blackberry vines and then, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know,
right. So when we talk about, you know, green waste, you know, several years back within California, it's no longer allowable to take green waste or the, you know, yard kind of waste and put it into landfills. So one of the challenges that many municipalities have been dealing with are trying to get facilities that can take green waste and then process it, you know, for composting purposes.
That's what I see with all these soil guys all over the place around here. Right? You'd think that they would be knocking on your door saying, hey, you know, any lawn clippings? You know, let me know.
You know,
I'll swing by.
It's amazing how much material is imported in from Oregon in particular. We've got a lot of importing of soil and soil amendments from out of Humboldt County that's going to that purpose. And yeah, we kind of look at it too in terms of, and we've got an awful lot of yard waste, but they're not processing it. They're already taking a product that has been processed and broken down so that they can mix it in with their ingredients. So we do have, and we have been doing green waste processing for a number of years, probably about 10 years now. And, you know, some of the material is composted. Some of the material was previously going into some of the hog fuel at some of our local power
Okay, now just because there are a fair amount of folks, if we said teepee burner, they wouldn't have a clue.
Teepee burners.
Hog waste is what?
It's not actually hog waste. Hog fuel. Basically, it's just chip goods, and it goes into places like the old Ultra Power or Scotia Power Mill, and so they're able to,
wood,
put it through their
burn
boiler,
wood stuff and
burn their wood
it.
And generate electricity.
The leftover residual of that
is the ash.
Goes to phase two.
I wish that it did. Actually, for a lot of people, for that ash, for a number of years, it was provided to some of the local farmers as soil amendment. So
it was used as a fluffer. Yeah,
and they would till it into some of their grasslands and whatnot. The new challenge that we're going to be working with in this upcoming year is some legislation that was signed by the governor last year, which is called AB 1826, and it's an organics bill, which basically is going to be putting a mandate that all organics, including food waste, will no longer be allowed in landfills, that we need to find some ways to process either through composting or other forms of conversion to keep those organic materials out of the landfill. And so, there are some significant challenges.
That's what I think. So as cutesy-wootsy and California-esque as this thing could be, if you're in L.A. or San Francisco, there's no composting. I mean, everything's being shipped out anyway. I would think that those major concentrated population centers are going to get creamed by this thing.
Well, they actually have an advantage of something that we don't have, which is going to be a higher population, which is going to allow you to achieve the economy of scale to afford the programs that are going to be necessary. And one of our big challenges is that while we like to think that we're pretty, sizable in terms of our populations, everybody complains about the horrible traffic jams as they're commuting back and forth to work. The bottom line is we simply don't have the population oftentimes nor in the density that it's going to require to make really affordable programs. We did do the pilot project, as you'll remember, a couple years ago for food waste collection. And just looking
at— That was pretty successful, wasn't it?
It was successful in terms of diversion. It was successful in terms of being able to get it into a composting activity. But it was very expensive for just the city of Eureka to run the collection program alone. Just the collection program was just shy of $500,000. And we were only handling the waste from essentially not quite 50 plus or minus, because we'd have people come in and leave. So average of 50 participants. And it's because you're running an additional truck and a route. So we need to find a more affordable way to achieve that. It is going to be more affordable if we can incorporate it as part of a route within the residential. We'll need to be working with the city's staff as well as their franchise haulers, and then trying to figure out what an appropriate processing facility would look like. So there's food waste, there's green waste, and we've got
huge, wouldn't it?
This is big. This is really big. And everybody kind of wants to do their own thing, if you will. So the city of Arcata, for instance, is emphasizing as much backyard composting as they can do, working with the schools or doing their own sort of composting activities, which in many ways makes a lot of sense because you're not having to run those additional vehicles out on the street.
But if you're running your rig past that spot to go to the next spot,
right,
and now you've only got half the people paying or a third of the people paying.
Right.
The guy guy is going to get hammered.
And now you see why it starts getting really challenging to figure out how to develop.
Two cities and then one decides not to play.
Correct.
You're getting drilled there too.
Correct. So it'll be a bit like a jigsaw puzzle to figure out, what is going to be the best fit for not just Humboldt County as a whole, but all of our respective, communities.
All the players within, yeah.
It's going to be really, really challenging. So we were talking about that on Monday at a meeting, just trying to figure out, what is it going to take for us to be able to meet the objectives in here. So this is going to be a big issue. And
well, at least it's not water. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Joe Duffy.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:45. We are back talking shop this morning with Jill Duffy. Jill, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, certainly the mindset, and I won't use the normal phrase that I put in association with, you're familiar with it. However, we've always done it. We're going to keep doing it. Has knowledge changed? Has poundage changed? Has just the law changed, requiring some of these different now definitions of hazardous waste and what they used to be?
Right. Actually, it's a little bit of all the above. So you didn't give me that answer. Once upon a time, everything that we generated simply got put into the, you know, into our garbage cans and off it went. As we've become, you know, more aware of certain things, household hazardous waste, e-waste, you know, paint, any of these things, increasingly the state ends up developing some sort of legislation that says you can no longer put your green waste into the landfill. You can no longer put hazardous waste into the landfill. And so the landfills, of course, have to comply with that. And so
what
that
can go in the landfill?
Oh, anymore is just plain old garbage.
But not from food source.
I know. And it's really getting down to essentially kind of the zero waste sort of thing. What can we be doing in order to increase our diversion activities? So one of the many programs that we do operate at the authority is our hazardous waste collection events. And we do that primarily for our residential customers, but we also do that for some of our businesses. So we're doing that.
Spread as an attempt to reduce poundage?
As an attempt to make sure that the poundage is coming in is getting put into the proper diversion stream.
So it's like a pre-sort.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, as you know, we do, you know, several different approaches. You know, we don't just have like a one size fits all. If you're a business owner and you've got material that you're looking to get rid of in the appropriate manner, according to your business plan, you can bring it down to the authority. And we do ask that people schedule appointments during the week, and we're actually seeing a pretty high participation now of people who are scheduling appointments during the week to drop off their business hazardous waste. We also have people increasingly that are making appointments from households, to go ahead and have that material diverted. The first Saturday of every month, we do a household hazardous waste collection event at the facility. And then, of course, this summer, we have our mobile collection events in which we will be going out to the individual communities. So our first
and dropping off garbage?
And
or picking it up.
Can drop off their household hazardous waste. It's too early in the morning to start that. On June 27th, this Saturday, we will be in Arcata at the Humboldt State University Plant Operations, the old Industrial Electric on Samoa Boulevard. So we will be there about 9 o'clock in the morning. And so if you've got household hazardous waste and you want to get rid of it, come out over there. The following month on July 18th, we'll be up at the McKinleyville Pearson Park holding a household.
So you're not going to be doing it during Rodeo Week in Fortuna. You're going to be doing it in McKinleyville.
That's correct.
Wise move. can you imagine?
Well, the weekend before is going to be the Auric Rodeo.
Yeah, so, I mean, see. Avoid the rodeo. I got it. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me in.
And a blazer, too.
Wow. And a blazer, I know.
You know, just the treatment that we get here is just extraordinary.
I didn't wear a tie, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.